Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, Jaime Espinoza from the Azure Websites team. Now, you do a lot of things, actually. but you're here to talk to us today about testing in production. And this is a topic we've had on the show previously, but there's been a number of advancements that you're here to show off today.
That's right. It's a feature that's actually being tested, no pun intended, and slowly rolling into production. A more mature product, right?
It's slowly rolling into production.
Exactly. We started with just a PowerShell kind of version of it. It's a full-fledged, very unconstricted version of a PowerShell. It lets you do a lot of things that are not available in the UI. We're fleshing out the UI. In doing so, we're trying to figure out what is the best fit for this feature, right? Mm-hmm. There's multiple directions in which we can go. Each direction is very costly, and we need to make sure that we go in the right direction. So that's why this is slowly rolling out. And you might see me again for that next for the next version as we refine this and per the user feedback. So we've done surveys, and at the end of this episode, I'm going to ask you to please email some feedback on what you'd like to see this feature rolling into.
Cool. Well, before we go rolling too far into production, let's kind of roll it back a little bit. And for those that didn't see the other episode, kind of let's explain what testing in production is and what we're really trying to achieve with this feature.
That's a really good starting point. So testing in production is a generic term for using production traffic in order to test something, right? This can be used, as you can imagine, in many different ways. Galen is you've seen the video from him from PowerShell. He's the developer, and I'm Jaime Espinoza, the PM. The contact information is therein. So testing in production routes 100% of, or normally you're routed 100% of traffic into your website, okay? And with testing in production, you're allowed to create some slots that are your test slots, and then route a portion of that traffic to that test slot. And if something goes wrong, you can roll back and put all your traffic back into your production environment. This is a good way to test your next rollout the next version of your website.
Yeah, and there's a lot of large companies that are doing this today where they'll just put small little sample audiences out there, maybe 1% of their traffic, figure out, are there any edge cases that we didn't think about when we were developing this?
Exactly.
And because that's what always happens. Like, I know I've done multiple deployments where we're like, yeah, let's push it. And we push it all out there, and all of a sudden there's this one little thing that we didn't even know people did with the site,
exactly,
which completely broke the functionality. So this is a good way to kind of go, let's just kind of test this out a little bit with how people actually use our application, and then we can decide if we want to fully promote that or not.
That's right. There's all the big boys are basically using a version of this or another. There's flighting. There's different scenarios that this is used for. There's I'm going to go towards the end and name out some of these scenarios, but it allows folks to be a little more agile, right? Yeah. You're coding, you're developing, and you wanted to test how that is going, and you can do it in kind of real time with real traffic. Mm-hmm. Okay, so to give a pictorial overview of what testing in production is, you have a number of users that are usually going to your website, right? And then you're able to define the ratio of that production traffic that's, or your visitors that are going in, and then you divvy it up across the different slots. Okay, so there is this example, right? You can go in and you start out with your vNext. You route some production traffic to it. This is the orange guys over here. And as you are more and more confident with the stability of your vNext, you can go in and start increasing the ratio of people that are going to vNext. And some of the folks that were originally going to production are going to be rerouted into vNext. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, it's important that the users are not flung about every time that they hit a page or refresh, that they end up in a different version of the site. So we need to make sure that those users are sticky. Once you're in this session for this website, you should be able to return to that website. And we ensure this using a tip mix cookie. okay? Mm-hmm. It's also what allows us to manage the ratios, right? And so depending on what value for that cookie you ended up with, you'll end up on the one slot versus the other.
Yeah, because the last thing you want to do is have a vNext form filled out, and you know you have your new schema in the database that's sitting in vNext prod, basically. Mm-hmm. And you go post back to the old server, and it's just kind of like, I don't know what these are.
What are you talking about?
What are these fields?
So we'll start the story for the demo from the beginning. Okay, you go into your new portal. Okay, you go into your website, and your website blade towards the bottom, you will see that under configuration there is a part for testing in production. Now, testing in production requires you to have slots. If you don't have any slots, it's easy enough. We give you a link here to add your own slot, and you have different options in how you create your slots, mm-hmm. and you can manage them. And once that...
So one thing here is you have to have slots. So in order to get site slots as a feature, you have to be in either basic or standard tier. Is that
That's
correct?
That's a really good point. Cool. That's a really good point. Yeah, so this feature where it uses slots is only available for those tiers. Yep. As I said, the PowerShell is unconstricted, so you're allowed a little more flexibility, but it's not as well supported. So, with great power. So in here, this is the UI is very simple. All you do is select the slot on that you want to route traffic to, and you tell it what percent of the traffic you want routed to that
cool.
slot. That's it. So we'll do 50%. Okay. And this is very powerful in itself. Just the mere fact that you can go in and you can manually set how much traffic goes into one versus another. Mm-hmm. You can manage your different slots. You can manage your tests. You can every slot is obviously a website. So as a website, you're giving some monitoring, some analytics. You're giving a lot of power with that website.
Yeah.
So you're able to do some more advanced scenarios. So once you start combining all those different elements together.
Yeah, and that's a key thing to point out is when you do have a site slot, you do have access to connection strings and app settings and all that other information mm-hmm. in its own context.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You can either clone the configurations or create this one specific to the slot.
Yeah.
Okay. So as in a cooking show, I have another already populated site. Okay. It has a testing and production running in it. There is a little bit of a miscommunication between these two. As I said, this is still kind of very much in preview, and we're yep. still ironing things out. Yep. But this is a testing version that's getting 50% of the traffic.
Okay.
Okay. And I wanted to show you that this is one of the slots, and it has a little red button on it. Okay. And this is a production site, and you see that it has the tip mix cookie in it, mm-hmm. and it allows us to be sticky to it. Okay, so it's possible, I think, to force it to try to get three tries is the max I'm going to do here. But if you continue refreshing, eventually you will hit the other.
Well, if you have the cookie set, would you actually hit the other, or do you have to delete the cookie?
Have to delete the cookie.
Yeah.
But
there you go.
There you go.
Cool.
Probability. So this is what is currently enabled in the UI. We're working towards bringing some of the features that we have in PowerShell onto the UI, so it's a little easier to interact with and get a lot of this advanced features brought to customers. So coming back to the slideshows, there is this feature within TIP, testing in production, that allows us to define a ramp up, mm-hmm. an automatic ramp up. That is, you tell it what a minimum is, what a maximum is, And a change interval and change step gives you the slope of this line.
Yep.
Okay, what this allows us to do is to start routing traffic automatically towards more and more traffic towards that new slot. But if we find that there is some kind of error, we ramp back down away from that error and get folks back into a more steady state.
You have amazing PowerPoint skills. This is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's a whole week of work right there.
This kind of reminds me of the yodeler off of The Price is Right.
Come on down. Yes. So we also allow you to define when things are happening. When you go up, when you go down, and you can set an actual point. So you can at any point in here we can call a routine that you define, that's user defined, and it'll tell us whether to go up or down, okay, based on things that we would not be able to access, like database, how many sales are happening, how many more subscriptions are being gained by this new version. And there's always a possibility to just reset that percentage value to anywhere that you want to.
So when we have someone like going through the ramp up and it does call this arbitrary code, mm-hmm. what are some of the scenarios that you want to do? Like this is testing for, should we be rolling back somewhere because we found an issue, or is this kind of like, we really just wanted to test this scenario, but we've got enough traffic through, so let's start moving item back or people back down to the production site?
Well, it's this is more, you can think of it more like a platform, right? There is no cookie scenario here. There is the ability to do a lot of different things, right? So with a callback, you have access to all your databases. You have access to your own error logs,
but
and you can find out what. You can make a decision based on that information as to what you want to.
It could be one of the, like, it could be both of those scenarios.
Exactly.
But this is just as you're stepping up that mountain going towards the maximum, you have an opportunity to evaluate with every step.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Cool.
So there is a change interval. At every interval, we're going to query either we do it the automatic way, which we do some basic error. Mm-hmm. Percent error math, okay, and if we see a lot of errors, we start automatically pulling you back, or the user-defined function allows you to do whatever you want.
Okay, so I'm guessing the next demo is going to be you showing off a user-defined function.
Exactly.
Excellent.
So this is the structure of it. We give you some basic stats, and then your response can either be an exact percentage, okay, so you can jump back somewhere in the line, or a step of, you know, how much more I want to. Maybe you get to a point where you're just really happy with it, and you just go in and you ramp it up really quickly. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a lot of power there. So before we get into that, I wanted to also call out that in here, you can actually create, sorry, switching back and forth. There is a side extension that allows you to more easily create this callback. Mm. Okay, so this side extension is called the tip callback extension. Okay, mm-hmm. The way you do it, you go into a configuration extension and then you install that. Let me see if I can show you this really quickly here. Changes discarded, obviously, yeah. And it didn't like that. It changed all of that. Oh, there you go. Side extension, and towards the bottom, tip callback extension. It installs it, and does this thing. And then once you browse into it, this is what you'll see. Yep. You have your metrics. You have your endpoint of, you know, this is where that callback is going to be calling into, and you can test out your code, and see how well it's behaving. You can see the AJAX request and what we're returning. We're returning a step of 7, routing percentage.
Cool.
Yeah, based on whatever metrics or however you want to do that. Obviously, you can, you know, open up Visual Studio and go really, really advanced with this.
Well, that's what I notice here is it's really interesting that it's just a simple JSON post body. So it's just like, yeah, here's the things that I want to know. Just push that out, and that's pretty awesome.
That's right. By keeping it simple, you'll have more flexibility, I think. So.
Okay, so there is still actually code there, though, because it says up at the top here, if you go to the Road Controller CS, you can actually add additional routes to this.
Exactly. Like I said, you can use Visual Studio Online. The back console here is the URL of the
okay. So if I was
not
to
the URL, but the path to the controlling.
If I click on Visual Studio Online here, can we actually see what that routing controller looks like?
I think you have to enable.
Oh yeah, because that itself is a set extension.
Yep. you have to enable that set extension and. Then you have to navigate to this, but set extensions, tip callback, and this is a CUDA console in case you're not. There's the JSON and the files associated with.
Cool.
Okay.
There you go.
Routing controller.
Cool.
So let's see, edit. Voila. Okay. So with that, we have some things that we like to light up in the future. Okay, these are choices at this point. They're not set in stone. We're asking for feedback to figure out what is most important, what to prioritize first, what maybe we can do later. So some of the things are a custom cookie. Right now we have the tip mix. Okay, but it's also possible that you want to set your own cookie values to say you know who your users are. And you can go in and say, these users, we're gonna put them in this slot. These users, we can put them in our slot.
So that would be flighting by user.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That allows a lot of flexibility, and you can do things like AA testing, okay, which is what you should do before AB testing. allows you to select the users more intelligently and make sure that you're testing things appropriately. Mm-hmm. HTTP verb filter, so you can do some performance optimizations where you do some verbs over here, some verbs over there, and you try to figure out how you can optimize your site. User agents filters would include operating system, device, language, things that you find in the user agent. IP geolocation filter will allow you to say things like, I just want to test this in Seattle and nowhere else. Okay. Yep. And you can say things like, yeah, only 10% of Seattle, right? And I have user cookie twice. A-B testing is basically a combination of this routing and filtering, okay? And an analytics part of it, so that you can go in and you can try to figure out which site or which version of my site is actually working the best, which one is getting me the most subscriptions, the most sales, etc.
Cool. So these are the items that are sitting on the roadmap right now. So you really want to get some feedback on where we need to prioritize these things. And where's the best place to do that? Would it be the user voice, or are we going to get people to email you directly and watch your inbox fill up?
there was a survey that was created for this. I think it's dormant right now. I'll dig that up and put the URL in the comments.
Great. Yeah. Awesome.
So just to go through some of the use cases, some of the possible ways in which you can use this, the target most simple way of doing this is to basically mirror your control source branches, and that way you have a certain percent of traffic going to each one of these slots, and whenever you want to make an update, you make it directly to that. Okay, there is different ways in which you can work together with swap. Okay, you can do like auto swap, where you deploy to a staging slot for the deployment, and when you deploy to that, it automatically swaps to the deployment, and it allows there's no downtime for that deployment. And there's also there's other things that are coming within TIP that allow for more flexibility when swapping. Then in the advanced scenarios, which I'll have a big caveat in here. Right now, this is officially not supported. These are things that you can't technically do. And we like to, see if we can get motivated users to start trying this out mm-hmm. and give us some feedback as to what they like to see better supported. But right now, we're not really supporting this. But it is possible to cascade slots. Okay.
Okay.
So you have your production, your staging, under staging, you have testing, and then under that, the development.
So basically, you go into that slot, and then in the slot, you start splitting off traffic from the first stage is you have 50% of traffic going mm-hmm. to production, 50% going to staging. You go into the staging slot, which is only getting 50% of the mm-hmm. traffic, and then going into and adding the testing slot.
Right.
And then you do like 15% of the 50%.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's cool.
Exactly.
That's cool.
This in the UI, this is a little tricky. There's no unified view for this. It's not a scenario that we expect a lot of folks to get into, but I figured I should mention in here because it does give you the benefit of using role-based access.
Yep.
Because as you're going down on those every time you fork down, then you can control the access to it. So for example, your development folks won't have any impact on the production.
The development folks can't go and put production to 5% traffic.
Exactly.
And the rest of
yeah, exactly. So A/B testing. A/B testing is one of these things everybody gets really excited about. It's not very easy to do properly, okay? Because there is a lot of math involved. So for example, you need to know if your mixture of users is truly random, okay? We use a random number generator, but sometimes these are deterministic, you know, just machine random number generator. So what happens sometimes is that you're kind of heavy on the one side and not on the other, and that's going to skew the results. Yep. So there's people that just do this for a living. Okay, I haven't found any automatic way of doing this. Mm-hmm. Okay, there isn't a general solution for it. You will have to do a little bit of math and have some understanding as to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But I think what we can offer is basically on par with what you can mostly do, right?
Yeah.
You have two versions of a site, you split 50-50, and you try to figure out on some metric which one is giving you the best performance.
Yeah, and the way you test, and this is where it gets down to the science and the mathematics of it, is you do have 50% traffic going to each one, mm-hmm. but then you have a different analytics account or token set up in either site.
That's right.
So you can see where people navigate naturally in the one site versus the other, and you know that's when you start doing trade-off. Mm. It can get fairly advanced, but it's definitely good to know. Make sure that you prove out your analytics assumptions mm-hmm. before you go down the path of doing this, because that's where you're going to get the most benefit.
Yeah, it's not a one-click do A/B testing, just tell me which one is best.
Yeah.
Without a ramp up, it does allow you, since you have a callback URL, you could set up your own like optimization fitness function there and have an auto ramp up to figure out which one, which A or B is better, but you have to be pretty good at math to do something like that. Then with the PowerShell, you can also use websites instead of slots. And there are some known issues with that. You have to have the sites in the same data center and the same stamp, which is something that it's kind of hidden from this is something that we control, and mm-hmm. it's just kind of where the sites fall. So it may or may not work, okay? So it's an untested part of the functionality, but it is possible to do something.
Cool.
But like I said, you know, there's a lot of functionality. We basically opened it wide open, and then we're hoping to see what is the best way or how users can leverage all this openness. Yeah. And you know, we don't want to confuse anybody. That's why the UI is as simple as possible. But at the same time, there's a lot of power back there.
Yeah. So you built it for flexibility, but it really depends on how all you out there want to actually go and use it. And some of these advanced scenarios, like you said, this feedback needed. Mm-hmm. Should we be going down this path? Are you likely to use this? So we'll make sure we get that survey link out there and figure out how people really want to go ahead and integrate this in their own solutions.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I think that was very informative. I think it's you know, I'm liking the UI. It's good to see that we're starting to move some of this functionality into the new portal, because mm-hmm. I know that PowerShell can be daunting to some folks. Mm-hmm. I'm a command line junkie, so yeah, I'm like, yes, bring on the PowerShell. but no, it's great to see all this stuff starting to progress, and we'd love to hear the feedback of the community to figure out how they expect to be using this kind of functionality and what kind of direction we should be heading in. Yeah. So thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. And thank you all out there for coming and joining us here on Webcams TV.